Jeannie, thanks for that prayer from the Psalms. Dr. Shell, these guys are singing terrific this morning. You guys just woke me up on Monday. And you sound as if spring break may be 5 days away. Does that feel good? Yes, you can make it. It is coming soon. Well, after the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, this is the first Monday of our Lenten Psalm series. And if you are reading in this devotional soundtrack and you are keeping up with it, today you may have read this, that around 385 AD, Ambrose, the Archbishop of Milan, wrote about the Psalms, and he said, "They are like a gymnasium open for all souls to use, where the different psalms are like different exercises set out before us. In that gymnasium, in that stadium of virtue, you can choose the exercises that will train you best to win the victor's crown." Those are great words, a great image to encourage us in this particular book, this song book of God's people. And as you read the Psalms, not everyone will connect with you. You may wake up one morning feeling on top of the world and read this psalm that's depressing. So not everyone will connect with you. But Ambrose encourages us to choose them and to choose the ones that train us and can do that for our souls. This morning, Dr. Michelle Wells is speaking to us out of Psalm 77. She is a woman of prayer, a vibrant faith, and if you have known Michelle for any length of time, you know that she is a woman filled with joy. And she is an associate professor. She is the program director for our MSW program. So many of you may not recognize her or have had her in class because she spends time with our graduate students. Michelle has a PhD in organizational leadership from Regent University. Her master's is from the University of Illinois at Chicago, and her bachelor of science is from Indiana State University in Terre Haute, Indiana. The areas of interest to her include inclusive excellence, social justice, spirituality, and leadership, which is primarily where she focused her leadership and her research. I see her husband here in the front row, and grateful for that this morning. Let's welcome Dr. Michelle Wells as she comes.
Good morning. I'm a little shorter. Good morning, everyone. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before your presence today, and we just give you glory. We give you honor, and we give you praise. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your word again today. I pray, God, that you would use me, God, to speak, God, your heart to your people. And I pray that this word fall on good ground, that it take root, and that it bear fruit. We invite you to have your way, and we invite your presence in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you can see, today we're going to talk about the why question. And social work, as many of you think, is not just about people taking away kids. Social work is more about people finding out, social workers finding out the life story of a person, finding out what's important to them, finding out about their problems, finding out about their issues, finding out about the things that concern them. And one of the things that we do in our profession is we train social workers to do what we call a good assessment. And your assessment has to have good questions. Those questions need to open up the story. Those questions need to allow the person to give their narrative. So one of the questions we ask is the why question. Now, when you think about the why question, one of the things with the why question is that you expect the person to be able to give you a good answer to the why, so that you, as the questioner, have a good understanding of what it is that their issue or their problem is. It satisfies your curiosity. It satisfies any awkwardness or discontent you may be feeling in having to ask this why question. So today, what I want us to talk about is our why. Our why. This is a very individual message. I want you to take this message to heart because this is for you. God brought this message for you to be able to examine yourself and answer your why. So I'd like to read Psalms 77, verses 7 through 14. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger withheld his compassion? Selah. So I say, I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. Psalm 77, verses 7 through 14. So, the why questions. The psalmist is asking, what will the Lord do? Why isn't the Lord doing what I would expect him to do? The psalmist is questioning. He's asking God, why? So do you have questions about what's going on in our world today? Do you have questions about why people are discriminated against? Do you have questions about why people are marginalized? Do you have questions about why we still have racism? We still have classism? Do you have questions about why people make assumptions before knowing a person's story? Do you have questions about why people are so angry? Do you have questions about why people are disunified? Do you have questions about why a protest that actually unifies and brings people together signals disunity? Do you have questions about why we don't care for the poor, when the scriptures say the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern? Do you have questions about why we don't care for the stranger, when the scripture says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you invited me in? Do you have questions about why there isn't care for the widow and the orphan, when the scripture says religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world? There are a lot of why questions, and I'm sure I haven't reached them all. When we look back to the psalm, the psalmist is grieved. distressed, saddened, doubtful, fearful. He says, "Will the Lord reject forever and never again show his favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at the end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger withheld his compassion?" He even says, "So I say, I'm grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed." Notice the psalmist uses absolutes. He uses words like forever, never, all generations. The psalmist is distressed. As I would say, we are as well. Unanswered why questions can turn into grief. They can turn into distress. They can turn into helplessness. They can turn into hopelessness. When I feel helpless and hopeless, one of the questions I ask, why, Lord? So just as with us, the psalmist has an expectation that the Lord has an answer, that there's some satisfaction for his discontent, for his curiosity, an expectation that the Lord will take away the awkwardness and the discontent that he is feeling. Do we have that same expectation? So when we look at unity that signals disunity, do we expect the Lord to respond? See, our why questions are the very same as the psalmist had. Where are you, Lord? Why aren't you responding? So let's take a look at the response that the psalmist finds in his heart. So the psalmist responds with remembrance, with reflection. And I would say that we respond by the power of the resurrection. So the psalmist turned his focus inward. So today I'm asking you to look inward and determine the answer to your why. He says, "I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders." The psalmist makes a decision. We have to make a decision. He says, "I will remember." There is a choice that we must make. We either choose to allow our minds to be filled with hurt, anger, fear, doubt, or we choose to have our hearts filled with Christ. So, let's focus on our why, your why, mine and yours. Remember, I said we have to look inward. So, I'm going to ask some more why questions. Let's make them personal. Why am I here in this very moment, in this very seat? Why am I here? Why has my journey led me here to Asbury? Whether I'm student, staff, faculty, why has my journey brought me here? Why do I have the relationships that I have in my life? Why do I have the experiences I'm living out right now? Why do I carry a burden on my heart for certain people, certain situations? Why am I called to social work or business or art or music or MediaCom? Why are you called to that particular discipline? See, we can focus on what's going on around us, or we can focus on the why that is within us. Because Christ said that the Holy Spirit would come and that he would bring to our remembrance everything that the Lord has taught us. John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. What is he telling you when you're asking why? God didn't give us fear, although there's a lot of fear in our world today. The Word of God says he did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. God's given us what we need. Further in 2 Timothy 1:14, he says from the Message, guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. So although we have a lot of why questions about what's going on around us, I would say that we need to focus on the why that is within us. Because the psalmist says in 77:12, I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. What are you using to measure the state of your heart? God gives us his word, and we need to reflect and meditate on what he has done. Because scripture says a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That kind of stung for me. It speaks what the heart is full of. So I have to reflect on what's in my heart. How will I measure that? Because speaking is an action, and our behaviors come out of what's in our heart. Therefore, I will speak for myself, but I hope that you can relate to this. I have to have an ongoing examination of my heart. So the process is not going to happen absent of reflecting on who Christ is. So first we remember, and then we reflect. Reflection, consideration, thinking our thoughts, contemplation. But reflection also creates an image. There's a representation. You get to see yourself through reflection. The Message tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:12, we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. So Christ is our mirror that we need, want to reflect. Should not our image reflect Christ? And if it doesn't, why? So I said that we have the opportunity to respond by the power of the resurrection. What is the power of the resurrection? Well, remember I talked about how we do assessments in social work. We look at the big picture. We give people an opportunity to tell their story. Christ looked at the big picture. He knew the heart of his Father. He knew the Father's perceptions. He knew the Father's views. He knew the Father's desires. And in knowing what the Father desired, he obeyed the Father and he fulfilled the purpose for which he was called. He fulfilled our story. Because when we go into the scriptures and we reflect on Christ, we have the victory. I'll say that again. We have the victory. Amen. See, the Lord is a refuge. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's a present help in the time of trouble. The word says the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. It says further that in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. He hides us in the time of trouble. Not for us to run away from the trouble, but for us to have peace in the midst of the trouble. He tells us in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our burden is lightened because Christ carried those burdens on the cross. Why? Because Christ, why, was you and me. The why questions I asked earlier that focused on the problems we're seeing around us. But see, we want to focus on the why that is within us. Because those things are not going away anytime soon. But God has ordained for each and every one of us a specific role in that story, a specific plan and a purpose that he has for us. And that is why we have to reflect on those questions I was asking that were personal. Why am I here? Why has my journey led me to this place? Why am I living the experiences I'm living right now? Why have I chosen the major I'm in? Because we all have a part to play in the big picture. The psalmist said, God, your way is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. See, when Christ answered the why question, he articulated by his actions what the answer would be. It wasn't that he didn't grieve. It wasn't that he wasn't distressed. It wasn't that he wasn't doubtful about what the Lord was asking him to do. But he answered the why for you and for me. In the garden, Matthew 26, 36 to 44, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. When you begin reflecting, you may say, "Lord, if it's possible, can this be taken from me?" But you need to have a nevertheless. Not my will, but your will be done. Because he brought you to this place for a reason. The power of the resurrection had, the death of Jesus had to occur so that we could have the power of the resurrection. Christ even said, "Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and only then to enter his glory?" Because of the power of the resurrection, we can walk through our grief, we can walk through our fear, we can walk through our doubt, we can walk through our unbelief, we can walk through our distress. It doesn't mean it won't come. It came for Christ, so it will come for you and me. But we have the power to walk through because of the resurrection. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, and then 22 and 23 in the Amplified Bible says, "In him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation, through his blood which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace which he lavished on us." Verse 22, "And he put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet and appointed him as supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church." There's that absolute all. "Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers." The power of the resurrection. When you begin to remember and reflect on Christ, the power of the resurrection is what brings you to that place of completion. We all have a journey to walk. We all have things that we will go through. We all will grieve. We will all be distressed. But we also know that we have a God who is victorious, that he carries the power and the glory. It is his forever. So what is your why? Will you let go of your grief, your distress, your anger, your fear, your doubt, your need to be right? Will you let it go? Because the Lord has a path for us, and he's stirring our hearts and steering us all in different directions. But it isn't an effort that all lives will be touched. What I have to do is not necessarily what you have to do. But we all have to reflect on our why so that we know the direction God is calling us. So I have a what question for you. What can you sacrifice to the Lord for everything he's done for you. Can I sacrifice having to have an answer to all the why questions that I don't understand? Or can I just look back and see all that he has done? Can I just be willing to work on my heart? Can I praise and acknowledge him for who he is in the midst of very troubled times? The answer to the why question is found in remembrance, in reflection, and in the suffering, cross, and the power of the resurrection. That's the answer that came when Christ answered the why question. And his answer to why was for you and for me. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your answer to the why question, that you loved us enough to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I will make this sacrifice. Yes, I will do what I must do. Not my will, but your will be done. Father, let us have that same attitude. And God, all the things that trouble us, help us to find our way forward in our why, that we might find our place in the story, that we might find our purpose, that we might help those we are called to, that we might honor you in the work that we do each and every day. I pray your blessing upon these, your people, God. I pray that you cover them by your Spirit. And I pray, God, that as we walk away from this place, we reflect on who you are and remember all that you've done, and that we joy in the power of the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.